Here with Rabbi Yehuda Turetsky, a good friend of mine, who is a Ram at Yeshivat Shalvim, which is a Hezri Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Turetsky is also is a Ram specifically for Americans, but in the context of a Hezri Yeshiva, and so someone that I would like to hear perspective and experience from in terms of being in that important kind of crossroads within the Jewish world right now. And curious if you can share with us what the experience over the past week has been like and any perspective that you think might be helpful or valuable for people abroad to understand.
Okay, first of all, I guess I'd say it's a pleasure to be here. I don't know if pleasure, given the context, is entirely accurate, but I'm definitely honored to be here. Maybe I'll just frame things a little bit. The yeshiva that I work in, as I'm sure some of your listeners know, is a yeshiva with a lot of Americans who come for a year or two to learn in Eretz Yisrael. And then you also have the Israelis here who almost all of them join the army at some point in their sort of time here in yeshiva. I mean, that sense, it creates like a little bit of an interesting dynamic. The Americans and the Israelis are not fully integrated. They're somewhat different programs, but again, still in the same yeshiva and still with a lot of familiarity with each other. Maybe I'll begin with Shabbos morning, which is Simchas Torah. It was here in Eretz Yisrael with Simchas Torah. Everything started, I'm a little bit of a light sleeper, so about 6 o'clock in the morning, I woke up in bed and heard these loud booms going on outside. Nothing so intense, it was not so close to here, but, you know, didn't pay too much attention to it. I don't know, there's sometimes noise, you know, not every noise gets you, you know, entirely going. And then when I went to shul at 8 o'clock, Rav Waxman, who runs the American program, is a Rebbe and mentor I know to you as well, made an announcement prior to davening, like, it really seems like the Iron Dome is active. I don't have a lot of insight in terms of what it is, and, like, you know, just to pay attention, this is where you go in situation of a siren, although, you know, who knows. We had pretty much a regular davening all the way through Simchas, all the way through Hallel. Right towards the end of Hallel, beginning the Hakafos, rumors started to spread. You know, rumors often, you know, at times can spread. In this case, the rumors almost seemed so horrific that it was easy to dismiss them on some level. Like, they seemed so over the top. There's a lot of, you know, telling the guys, don't believe everything you hear. It's all secondhand. You know, it's not a community with a lot of non-Jews around. You know, it's a pretty homogenous kind of a place. But then, you know, rumors started to come in a little bit. Hakafos were largely regular, although based on the rumors, a little bit more, I would say, heartfelt, some of the singing. Things were framed maybe a little bit differently. And then it started to get a little bit, once we finished sort of those Hakafos, it became clear something more serious was taking place, and a lot of the fourth and fifth year Israelis started to get called up to leave yeshiva in the middle of the day. That was a very heavy kind of a scene. The Rosh Yeshiva, who's a very warm person, you sort of have this Kriyas HaTorah, the way it goes here, like in many shuls, a lot of different places for Kriyas HaTorah. There was one they did for like the Shir Dalet Israelis, Shir Hey Israelis, fourth and fifth year, of like a very quick sort of Kriyas HaTorah, a very quick Musaf, and then you saw him sort of say goodbye to the guys as they were heading out on Yantif. You know, it was beautiful to see. He's a Kohen, a Birkas Kohanim to each of them, and a hug, and it was very emotional. And then there started to also be other staff members in the American program that were called up. It was a tricky scene. And I'm sorry I'm doing so much talking. Feel free to interrupt whenever you want. It was a little bit of a tricky scene because we still didn't know a lot of the details. We knew it was bad. We were hearing different things, but not exactly clear what we were hearing. And, you know, a lot of questions. We ended up moving out of the Beis Medrash for the end of Kriyas HaTorah and for Musaf. We dive in sort of at the lobby level instead of at the top floor of the Beis Medrash, because the lobby level would give us greater access to and quicker access if there would be sirens or anything else to a safer place. It was a little bit heavy. I was actually Chasen Bereishis this year. So my mother was staying about like a 10-minute walk away at my brother's house. I went down to my mother asking her please not to come. The kibbutz had already moved out of their shul. The shul isn't as close to any of these like protected Merchav Muga, any of these like bomb shelter type things. So they had almost a, I mean, it's a crazy thing. The parallels, there's a lot of parallels with this. They had a COVID like setup for minyanim of each street having a minyan, so people could just go into their homes. So I came back up. At that point in time, the laning and musaf was a different feel. It was clearly a different feel. You know, the gabbai was called up, so the mashkiach of the yeshiva, Rav Ben Yaakov, you know, functioned as gabbai, and that's while he was having, at the time, I think four of his sons were being called up. So that takes us through, and then, you know, Motzei Shabbos, of course, once the news became clear, it was a very, very different kind of a feel, you know, in general. And in a community, there were a lot of members of the community that have been called up and that began to be called up on Shabbos and have been called up since then. Hope that gives a little bit of a feel.
Yeah, and what's it like to be someone who has a role, an important role, but not someone being called up and being, you know, side by side with all these people being called up?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. There's like, there are people over a certain age are not being called up, although many of them, like in the yeshiva here, many of the people here have multiple children, you know, who have been called up if they're over a certain age. The Rosh Yeshiva does, the Mashgiach does, you know, Rav Waxman referenced before, Rav Shapiro does, Rav Reich does, no, Kenigsberg, many, many of the Rebbeim here have people that have been called up, have children that have been called up, and a lot of people under a certain age themselves were called up. I wouldn't say it's everyone, but it's a decent amount of people. You know, it's been a beautiful thing as far as what the community has done to take care of the kids. There are, you know, the teenage boys did a lot of work taking down people's sukkahs because people left right after, you know, or on itself.
Right.
I work with that. The teenage girls here, there's a group of them that have been unbelievable running activities for the kids, in particular, you know, kids, because again, it's kids whose fathers may not be here or older siblings, but also even if their parents are here, it's a crazy time. You know, running these sort of events, offering, you know, these girls wrote on like the local WhatsApp group, like whatever you need, we are here for. Cleaning, laundry, putting kids to bed, playing with children, cooking, purchasing things. You know, the boys also, there's a lot of activity to take care of people. I have the husband of a first cousin of mine who lives right near here, who was a student of mine for a long time, very close with him, was called up. It was definitely a feel of participating and being active. There are those, I think, who feel almost an experience of guilt that there are others going up and they're not. My hunch is that there are those who feel a sense of relief, although maybe they don't articulate that out loud. I guess I just did. There are those who, for me, it's almost like, you know, when I made Aliyah at that point in time, the Army wasn't really interested in me, so I didn't have to go through that much of a, when I did, I was already married, a couple kids. I was already a little bit older. You know, it wasn't something which I had to seriously consider doing. For me, I really just feel like I'm trying to do my best given the opportunities that I have. And, you know, it's not at the front lines and it's not wherever it is, but there's, you know, unfortunately what to do and certainly, you know, busy. We brought back all the Americans to start yeshiva early, like many yeshivas. We're supposed to have a tiyul. We canceled this trip, 2-3-day trip, brought them back and have largely begun yeshiva earlier. But all my kids are also home and not in school. So my wife works full time. So we're just like, you know, it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot of like in and out. Hopefully, you know, the guys I teach are understanding of the fact that my children on some level, you know, are my primary priority, but hopefully my children understand the fact that there are times where I go out to, you know, to teach. Been a lot of conversations with the guys I teach. I teach second year Shonabed Americans. A decent amount of conversations with their parents, you know, people wondering, I don't know if this is a, you know, there's definitely a big discussion, a lot of yeshivas and seminaries. Some people have flown home, some people have stayed here, and how they're going to be able to navigate that. You know, we've tried here. It's like an interesting thing. There's like the internal emotional experience that I would want to have. Then there's what's appropriate for my children to be able to see. You know, maybe my 10-year-old son needs me to have a baseball catch with him outside. You know, maybe that's uncomfortable if a mother walks by whose husband's away and it's like, why are you having a catch? You know, but for my son, it's important. And for the guys in yeshiva also, you know, Rav Waxman, I referenced before, said to me yesterday, he finds that he listened to a little bit of the chizuk given in America. He finds there's like a little bit of a difference in the way people are talking to people in America and the way we're talking to people here in Eretz Yisrael. In America, it's like trying to speak in a very intense way to make people part of it, to feel that connection. And part of what we're doing with the guys here is, you know, the vibe is intense. We're trying to calm things down a little bit for a lot of these guys. You know, a little bit like, if you need, it's okay to play ball. You know, it's okay to have that space in the context of, they thought they were on vacation this week and they're learning now, I don't know, whatever hours a day they're learning. And to try to make sure that they're not overwhelmed with things. You know, there was a Levaya here last night at 10:30 or so, the son-in-law of a family, no Philon, person passed away. It was a very, like, you know, it's a tough balance, you know, what to tell them, what not to tell them. My son has a kid in his grade whose father was killed, doctor in the army, and it's like, I always have this question, like, do I share that with my shiur, with the guys? Do I not share that with them? I don't want to scare them, but I also want to be honest with them and make them part of something. You know, thank God we're in a place which is relatively safe. I'm not speaking here as someone that's on the front lines or someone that Baruch Hashem has suffered, you know, a real sort of direct loss, whatever that means, direct loss, in this particular context. But, you know, just trying to figure out the right way for balancing my own feelings, those of the guys I teach, those of my family, you know, and
yeah,
things like that.
Is there anything that you can think of or have, you know, come across that you think Americans, you know, in America, not those in Israel, might not understand or might be missing or might be helpful or important for them to be thinking about, or, you know, something that they should be trying to do, or even just an awareness? Is there anything that, you know, might be missed for us here on this end?
I don't think so. Meaning my read on it, and again, because I work primarily with Americans, so my own read on it is that the community has been very much sort of like energized. A lot of, you know, it's like almost like students of mine in different cities. Like I've seen, like, you know, in Chicago at the Hillel Rally, and then this in the Five Towns, and then, you know, sort of this in Phoenix, and this in different places. People have, like, connected. It seems like people are also sending, you know, a lot of people are also sending a lot of gifts. People are also sending a lot of sort of people are sending whatever, you know, people need in the army, trying to take care of that. I think the community has definitely sent a lot and definitely feels connected. My concern is, and again, I don't know if this is, my concern is that we may be in this for a while. The people that have been called up, you know, I've gotten questions, you know, I'm not that high in the totem pole of rabbis. I've had three or four people, you know, reach out to me about volunteering toward the army, guys who are here, guys who are in America. I have a very close student who was in, you know, who's in Shlichut for a couple of years in Chicago that came back to join his student. You know, questions a lot about managing kashrus and things like that, people that are in the army, a lot of questions like that. Their impression is that they may be there for not a short amount of time. And I just sort of hope that the embrace that I believe, let's say American Jewry and broader communities also, but that American Jewry has sort of brought towards, you know, Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, I hope that that continues. You know, for all the food that gets sent, for all the tzitzis making, for all the gifts, for all of the, you know, we may be in this for a while, and some of these families, it may not be for a week, it may be for, you know, a month, longer, I mean, we have no idea, you know, where that, to maintain that connection, I think, won't be as hard in Israel, where we're sort of feeling that anxiety day to day, but I hope that in America, where, you know, that can continue, and we continue to feel that embrace.
Yeah. Something I can't kind of stop thinking about is Rav Soloveitchik's speech that he gave. I think it was in like the early 70s about this al-chait that he felt should be added, that American Jews should add an al-chait on Yom Kippur for the chait of their silence during the Holocaust. And it's something that kind of just I've been thinking a lot about, of like, you know, what are we doing? What are we not doing? You know, what more is there to do? I don't know. It's not a simple matter of how to do that, you know, and what to do.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's going to be, I want to get, like, someone said to me today, you know, an educator in a different institution, that, you know, he wonders at some point, will America start sending people over? You know, all the conversations about people going back, you know, that too much of that can take a toll on those who are here. And sometimes in the past, there have been these like missions of chizuk. You know, entering into a dangerous place is never ideal or encouraged. I wonder like what's called silence, what's not. I don't personally. I don't think I would have made that point on my own. I think people have a lot going on in their lives and appropriately want to be in, you know, in safer locations if they're able to. I understand. I'm sympathetic to that. Much as I believe in the power of and the importance of being here. But I think it's a great question of like what's called silence in these moments. You know, is writing a check called silence? I don't think it's called silence. You know, I think it's a very chashuv thing. I think it's a very, very important thing. I think tefillah is really, really important. I think being engaged in whatever we could with political figures is really, really important. You know, America's support is crucial. It's vital. I think the community has responded very loudly, and I think in a way which is beautiful and very, very powerful. At least, again, large segments of the community. I can't speak with authority. I don't follow the broader American scene enough to speak with authority and speak in terms of like all. But there's certainly a huge embrace, which has been powerful, and people have felt it here. I guess one thing I would say, which I think is like intriguing, is I don't think the people who are here, including many of the soldiers, at least that I've been in touch with, feel nebuch. You know, it's not like they feel in the classic tzedakah dynamic. There's like the wealthy person gives the poor person, you know, money. A lot of the people here, even those in the front lines, don't feel like they're the poor people. They feel like they are, I mean, they are, you know, Giborim. These guys are giants. These are mighty, strong people. And that's true even in the community here. People here are not, you know, they're honored to be part of this, you know, of this journey, challenging, gut-wrenching, and for some families, beyond tragic, you know, like it is. But I think it's an interesting thing. I don't think they view themselves as recipients of tzedakah. I think they view themselves as as people that are performing a shlichus for Am Yisrael that is so great, and those that give are honored to be part of the shlichus, you know, honored to facilitate and foster that. I think it's been an interesting sort of component here, you know, of what it is.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. I didn't think about it that way, but that definitely is the experience, at least. It feels that way to me on the side of the Americans giving, right? It does not feel like tzedakah the way that I usually experience, like if I'm giving someone tzedakah at all. It almost feels like I'm the ani and they're the ashir, you know, and it's like, you know, it's anything I possibly can to like even just like come to their, you know, to their toenails, like by giving them something to like, you know, do what they're doing. But it's a pretty, that's a really interesting point. I'm curious, do you have a sense of like what is going on in the Haredi communities in Israel right now? Like what that's like, what their experience and role is in this?
Definitely, I believe, active in, you know, in a lot of the communities, active in terms of providing, looking for opportunities to give. Certainly in the American Haredi community, which I'm more familiar with, you know, which is, you know, been very active. But even just as far as pictures, messaging, if you look on some of the Haredi websites here, and just what seems to be going on, Kichlal, a lot of, you know, Karlsson Rebbe going to a levaya of a soldier, you know, that was killed. There's a lot of, I believe at least pictures, you know, there's a lot of engagement and involvement. I think people feel connected. People feel connected in ways that I think are beautiful. So an article today, you know, highlighting this, just the degree of connection, which is there, which I think is likely always there, but not always at the forefront. They're not always at the surface. And I think that it's been a good time, I think, in that sense. Or it's been a time, and a good time is the right way to say it, but I mean, it's been a source of a degree of chizuk. I believe, you know, again, with certain figures in particular who have been much more connected, you know, and in touch with what's going on, be that through learning or be that through tefillah, or again, through sending food, through sending, soldiers get food. I think it's, you know, it's just the army food, it's the army food. And some of them have called this week with different questions. Like, it isn't that great if people send over these, like, you know, you send over your, you know, there's a restaurant that my family likes, you know, Schmaltz in Yerushalayim. It's a great, you know, great wing. And like when they're sending over food to the army base, like, it's just better than what they're getting. And it's nice, you know, just people doing that, like, it's small things like that are wonderful. you know?
Yeah. Just to finish off, is there any sort of thought, or almost as if like mantra type thought, that you're currently living with, that you're like, you're walking through day to day with, that's kind of, you know, animating the way that you're engaging this experience?
So on one level, the answer is no. And I'm almost embarrassed about that. It's more like, I thought, you know, it's like, I'm trying to get through the day. Like, there's enough going on that, like, it's so busy and so demanding. You know, my wife, who's pulling off a whole lot more.
That's the answer right there, kind of, I think, right? Meaning, isn't one. It's that the mantra is, you know, get through the day, you know, hayom.
Yeah. Or I've been saying, some of my conversations with students of mine, it's formulating it in terms of, like, just go one step at a time. You know, one step at a time. Thinking about what's going to be in a week, it's going to be in 2 weeks. It's really one step at a time. It's like living in the present, you know, in a very real way. You know, again, with a little bit of like embarrassment sometimes. It's like, am I, you know, like, there's always more to do. There's more to give. There's more to talk, more to provide, be that for the loved ones in my home, or be that for my, you know, mother who's in Yerushalayim, or, you know, there have been some powerful moments, but like one day at a time. You know, I'll share this with you because I think it's interesting. Student is a guy I taught for, he's my share for about 3 years, who was supposed to get married this past, was going to get married Monday. The hall canceled, caterer canceled. We had a, you know, he had to look for a place that the maximum amount in Yerushalayim was 50 people indoors with a mamad, with a place that could hold all 50. He got married in the Thorev school in Yerushalayim. It was a 50-person wedding. I mean, it was like a COVID-type wedding. It was friends made all the food. Friends put everything together. The band was the same band, but everything else was like, and there's been
and
something
you're
very
being
very
humble, because when I spoke to you a few days ago, you were in the middle of making meat for the wedding.
I was involved in making the food, you know. His friends also made the food. But there's like a little bit of there's something powerful about this, you know. Each day at a time, and every day has hardships, and every day you can also find moments of real chizuk. And being able to embrace those moments of real chizuk is part of it also. You know, it's one day at a time, but one day at a time, it's not all terrible. A lot of it's hard, a lot of it's stressful, a lot of it's anxiety ridden, but a lot of it's a source of real, real positivity as far as seeing what the Jewish people are, the wider embrace, and at times participating in, you know, in events that are joyous with an undertone of sadness, and, you know, trying just to manage and do what we can.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting to just, I guess, end off with this, but it's interesting thinking about how in a sense, you know, the focusing on just, you know, the moment and getting through the day, in a sense, sounds like a more kind of mundane, you know, technical, you know, reality, but, you know, functional reality. But then there's also, you know, not for now, but there's all these Torahs, you know, about Hayom, you know, and about that the highest way of living is living literally just in the moment. And that's actually the loftiest, most spiritual way of being in this world, is to literally just be in the present moment as it is. And so it's an intriguing thought how that most kind of base functionality, you know, connects us to the highest root of a way of being.
Sure.
Rabbi Turetsky, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. It would be, God willing, in much, much better circumstance. But thank you so much. I know your schedule is super busy. Thanks for making this time. It's very meaningful and hopefully meaningful for many people who hopefully take chizuk and understanding and find connection through this. Thank you.
Thank you very much.